Welcome to Lead Pods, the official leadership podcast from USMB for pastors and church leaders, where our goal is to increase our impact together.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the USMB Lead Pods. My name is Matt Ayersman and I will be your host today. And you guys, it is December, which I can't decide if this has been the fastest year of my life or the slowest year of my life. It's somehow been both, but still it seems hard to grasp that it is December. But I hope you are doing well and hanging in there in these crazy days we find ourselves in. We've got a really fun show today that I think you're going to enjoy. Today I am talking to Gavin Linderman and Micah Bentley. They are leaders at the Axiom Church in Peoria, Arizona. And man, I say this later in the episode, but after talking to these guys, I just wanted to hop on a plane, hop in a car, something, and head to Peoria because it sounds like they've got a really cool thing going on with their local church. And they do a lot of really great things to help benefit their community. And I think you're really going to enjoy hearing their perspective. Just some encouraging ways that we can be authentic to ourselves and how when we do that well, that actually leads to a really healthy church atmosphere that will be attractive to people. So I really enjoyed getting to know these guys, and I think you will as well. So again, I'm going to keep this short and sweet so we can get right to the good stuff. We'll take a quick break and get right to Gavin and Micah from Axiom Church in Peoria, Arizona.
The Christian Leader Magazine is your starting place for information and community among our U.S. Mennonite Brethren family. With news stories, features, columns, and bi-weekly email updates, The Christian Leader is your source of connection to our broader USMB family. Subscribe to C-Link, our bi-weekly email newsletter, at www.christianleadermag.com. You can also subscribe to our print magazine online or by contacting your local MB church office. Christian Leader, connecting and informing our USMB family since 1951.
All right, my friends, thank you for joining us for another episode. Today, I am talking to two leaders who are joining us from Axiom Church in Peoria, Arizona. We've got Gavin Linderman with us, who is the lead pastor, as well as Micah Bentley, who is in charge of their worship and arts. So guys, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Yes,
glad to be here.
We're stoked. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you. So to both of you, some people listening probably have heard a little bit about Axiom if they're in the MB family, but maybe don't know too many details. They may not know you very well. So to kick us off, why don't you both introduce yourself and tell us, and then once you do that, tell us a little bit about Axiom and what you guys do there.
I'm Micah Bentley, worship pastor in arts, and I oversee just all things of the creative arts world and music, and I also help with all of our media and marketing and design stuff. Really, I just see my role as helping communicate our values through whatever, you know, mediums, and just create space for people to hopefully experience Jesus. And that's really kind of what we do in general at Axiom as well. Is our goal and everything that we're about is creating space for people wherever they're at on their journey to experience Jesus and begin or continue that journey with Jesus. So, and I hopped in to on the team about probably 6 years ago. I just, you know, first started, my wife and I started just being a part of the community pretty early on, like when it was first planting and launching. And then, yeah, just started getting involved. I've been good friends with Gavin and his brother Lance from far before Axiom started. We were all friends in the local and national music scene. And so we knew each other from that, and then kind of re-engaged in our friendship in our, you know, mid-20s, as we were all kind of going through this similar paradigm shift and reconstruction of our faith. We all kind of, our hearts were all very aligned with hearts for Jesus, firstly, and just for seeing our friends and people that we knew in our spheres of just friendships. We wanted to see them experience Jesus also, but we saw a space and a gap, at least in our geography, in our area of the West Valley of Phoenix. We noticed that there was kind of there were people that just didn't feel like they fit into this or that church cultures. And we just wanted to hopefully create something that, would provide space for, those people. Mm. And then that, was kind of the start of this journey, and it's evolved and grown from there.
And I'm Gavin, lead pastor here at Axion, longtime friend of Mike and Bentley. That's how I my official title is here. Yeah, so my wife and I started the church just over seven years ago. The vision and dream for that obviously began before that at Copper Hills, alongside what at the time was Mission USA and Multiply, to develop a church plant here in the Southwest to be the second church, Mennonite Brethren Church here in Arizona. Of course, there had been other two or three other Mennonite Brethren churches in history's past. And so we did that in coordination with Copper Hills with their blessing. We really made them a part of the DNA from early on. You know, stewarding the vision, spiritual oversight, that's kind of where my primary responsibility lies alongside the other elders here. And then obviously I get to share my work week with Micah and the rest of the crew, which we've got a really awesome team here. And the chemistry of our team also, I think, has a lot to play into just how much this church has grown and pressed into being a space for people to experience Jesus, because we've really elevated the relational bar over and above sort of the theological grades or even some of the habit-oriented Christianity that we might see and experience in, other churches. And so we take down the walls of sort of the habits, and then we loosen the grip on the theological tensions so that people have space to engage it. But then at the center of that, we place a really strong relational emphasis with our team, with our community, with leadership. And out of that space, we're able to really been able to cultivate, I think, a fairly healthy church for people that are, you know, maybe even aren't likely, unlikely people that you wouldn't find in the church. And that's been at the heart of Axion, is to be, as Micah already said, a community for people you wouldn't likely find in the church. And what we're finding, though, along the way is that we haven't just resonated with that group, but we've also resonated deeply with people who have sort of been disengaging their evangelical upbringings or their church background because of various issues, theological or habit-wise, or just they're looking for a greater sense of integrity in their spiritual journey. And so for whatever reason, we've really attracted kind of that crowd, which has been good for us. It's forced us to become creative. It's forced us to be hold a pioneering spirit. There's not a real roadmap for this, which is good for us because it creates a lot of room for us to fail and it'd be okay. Mm-hmm. It also creates a lot of room for us to experience success together and inspire others. And that's been, I think, another unique thing that we've had to come to terms with is Axion has been a unique church to inspire so many other communities in our neighborhood and area to do similar things as well. And so in one way, I think we're serving the church that we kind of have come out of ourselves, while at the same time reaching a group of people that are coming out of those communities as well. And that's, I don't know if that makes sense, but there's a dynamic there that hits a sweet spot for us here at Axion.
That's awesome. And you've kind of mentioned a couple of times that maybe you guys are attracting people who maybe wouldn't feel welcome or may not feel attracted to kind of the typical church model. And Gavin, I just met you. I don't know you very well, but you kind of hinted that that was maybe your story, that you didn't feel welcome or comfortable in a kind of a traditional church setting. So walk us through, like, what was your story before this, and how has your faith shifted, or what led you to where you are right now?
Yeah. So I think distilled to me early on is just a sincere and deep desire for authenticity and an experience of God, not just a cognitive understanding of who God is. Mm-hmm. And I've cheerleaded that in my own life to a fault, so much so that it's caused me to often be in tension or call into question some of the sort of moving elements that I experienced in church growing up, or even as I was reentering the church and trying to find solid ground again. I knew there was something there. I knew that the church that called Jesus Lord had something to offer, in part because, you know, enough people in history have walked across that landscape and felt it move, but also because something some moments had happened in my own journey to resonate there, but I still couldn't figure it out. So that deep longing created a tension in me that just kept me in hot pursuit of that. And no doubt early on, I moved around churches with my parents in my family life, experienced many different expressions of the Christian church from more Pentecostal experiences to a Mennonite community in Indiana to your sort of standard non-denominational or evangelical experiences. And again, the same subtle movement of God was in each of those, but something was still missing. Mm-hmm. So just that seeking, you know, I was a seeker and I was seeking, but what I was seeking was Jesus and experience of him. Mm-hmm. And that led me into some conflict, but it ultimately led me into, a point of vision. And that came when I finally was able to find a space, a church, that I could let all the guards down from the places of judgment or tension or sort of behavior modification that was expected, where a church said, hey, we like you the way you are. In fact, we love you. We're not trying to change you. And that created the room necessary for me to sort of put this deep desire in my heart to something tangible that I could begin to work out in discipleship of really just stewarding a vision for church planting and creating a shared experience that was hopefully big enough for everybody, not, you know, Christians, but also the people that sort of don't know how to work in that grid. The church world doesn't always feel consistent with regular world. And so we want to improve our language and our posture to be big enough for both.
Mm-hmm. And Mike, I think you mentioned the concept of like deconstruction. That's kind of a thing that we hear a lot about these days, of especially people, kind of young adults who are maybe raised in the church, where if you grew up in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, like quote unquote church was kind of done a certain way that did a lot of things well, but maybe didn't do some other things very well.
You listened to Green Day growing up.
Right. Green Day. Absolutely.
Or so, you probably weren't allowed to.
You weren't allowed to, but you did anyway. Right. Yeah. So a lot of us, like, I don't know how old you guys are. I'm 32. Like I kind of grew up in that era where, again, a lot of the things about the church was really good, but the things that were bad really rubbed us the wrong way. And as we're maturing, as we're, you know, growing in our careers and our families, we're kind of wrestling with the things that we aren't sure we agree with, kind of having to figure out what our theology is. So it sounds like that's kind of where you guys were, and that's kind of where Axiom kind of is. So are you seeing those people like that coming into your church? And do you have any stories or examples of how that's working out?
Yeah. So, you know, similar to Gavin, like I really highly all my life and through high school and young adult, like just had this deep desire for authenticity and just honesty. And like, I encountered so many cultures where that wasn't the case. I had so many experiences. My parents were church planters all my life.
Okay.
I grew up as a pastor's kid, and I saw the palette of types of church cultures, and a lot of it was really, really good. In fact, from a really young age, I had this deep experience and just relationship with God that never actually went away, even through my seasons of, I guess people call it deconstruction. That term's thrown around, I think, abundantly these days. But but there was this component of Jesus himself that always anchored me. And we're seeing that in our own community, like the people who tend to come around, there's usually some kind of past hurt or pain or just some kind of encounter of inauthenticity that they experienced. But yet there's something that's still holding them to desiring Jesus, you know, desiring relationship with him and saying, what I've experienced doesn't look or feel or sound like Jesus. Yeah. And there's been this dissonance and disconnect for people. And what we've seen in our community is just some of the people who tend to come around from that experience, really just giving them room, giving them space, and not forcing them along in any way, but just letting them be, has in itself, like you watch Jesus do the work himself of just the healing and the reconciliation of those things. When they actually start to experience like authentic community, some of those wounds start to heal themselves. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've kind of seen, is just when we kind of create that space and that openness for people that are seeking and people that are having some of those challenges, really just making room for them and letting them just be in this community has just been a sweet space for them.
For sure. And there's no doubt. I mean, tangible examples. We've had people who've walked in and just been like, hey, like I've been getting in trouble for swearing and having a beer and name your thing, behavioral things. And I'm so past like my life being managed in that way. I need something deeper. And it's not a rejection of rebuke or critique or reproof. It's a rejection of cleaning the dishes on the outside and the inside. And so we've sort of helped sort of take down that first layer of correction by saying that gets worked out through the inward transformation stuff. And so we continue every event we do to dialogues that we have, we host dialogues here, really starts with the internal space and the relational space and creates room. Our goal is to get to a place where confession is possible. And because if confession is possible, meaning I can be vulnerable, then the soteriological things are possible. I'm willing to give my life to Jesus now. Like, if you can't be vulnerable enough to give your sins over, how can you be vulnerable enough to accept Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And so really thinking through how we like move people towards a confessional space so that they might come to a place where they can engage Christ. And communion has become probably the greatest ordinance for us to practice regularly together to help people see that Jesus is postured for confession and postured for relationship and postured for the kinds of people that have never felt welcomed or at home, maybe in the traditional church. And I don't think it's even mom and dad's fault. You know, I don't think it's that as much as it is just part of the journey that we're all on. And so for us, it's just to be a healthy enough church to meet people regardless of where they're at in the journey. Because the harder one is when we meet people who are, they're very much at the behavior matters and what you do matters. I want to come here, but I want to make sure that this is still an issue. You know, this is still, we're not, you know, just a grace church or something like that. It's kind of language we get. Yeah. And we have to be able to meet them as well and shepherd them to a place of confession too. And and so I don't know if that speaks to some tangibles, but.
Well, I've noticed too that that's not even necessarily a generational thing. Like it's a very, very diverse. We've had a lot of older people that have been in the faith their whole life that are just now finally getting to, they're in some kind of state of just needing rest, needing a space to work stuff out. And it's beautiful to be able to just like let that happen. I mean, none of these people are rebellious people. They're really thoughtful people actually. And the desire that they have in them is really pure. Mm-hmm. They just want to experience God in a real way. You know?
Yeah. And some of those walls, like, you know, we talk about the behavioral, but there's also then the theological ones too. And it's like, hey, I think what I believe in is bigger than what I'm told I'm allowed to believe, you know, or I'm not sure I believe in this over here, or I've got big questions. And again, we all know this now, but it's just important for the church to be the safest place to take those kind of questions and dialogues too. And we're prepared not just to defend them, but to nurture, to not just guard those things, but to garden new things. And that takes some intentional thoughtfulness, I think, from leadership, wherever they're at, to create that environment and discipleship space that anybody could step into. So short answer, long answer is yes. For the deconstructing and the reconstructing communities, wherever you're at on that journey, we hope to be. And wherever we fall short of that, we're even need to be a church for the people who have already arrived, who have already figured it out. And I say that really with air quotes because nobody has, but some people might think that they have.
Right.
And we need to be a space for them as well because they need to confront the generous orthodoxy of Jesus.
Yeah. I keep both of you guys several times you keep using the phrase
phrase, like give people space. Like that seems like that's a really key part of what you guys are doing, is just giving people an opportunity to rest and maybe wrestle with things they believe or don't believe, and just giving them space. And I think a lot of churches have this temptation for like structure and classes and events and lead people along this very specific discipleship path. And you need to go to this class and then this class and join this group. And then, so I don't know what you guys' structure is, but it sounds like you're maybe not that. Have you wrestled through that? Yeah. Tell us about that.
We've been told we have a liturgy of chaos.
Our structure of chaos.
Yeah. I would say like, if I'm being totally honest, like, part of the reason that we maybe don't have a high structure or a very formal one is because of our missional emphasis. When we talk about creating space, that is birthed out of a missional posture. It's a desire to meet people where they are. And that has to happen here in our walls as much as it's happening out of the walls. And you know what I mean? And so that plays into that. We do have structure though, that creates room for people to go further in their faith, right?
Yeah, and that's something we're even sensing a need for more of. Mm-hmm. And desiring in the next year to just increase the clarity of what that journey looks like. Mm-hmm. If someone says, I want to, you know, grow in this area, or I sense being called this area. And I mean, honestly, like, spiritual disciplines are a really helpful thing for us and really are structure in themselves for us. So we really try to lean into the spiritual disciplines holistically and then also personally.
And I'm trying to think through this again from the journeying standpoint. So, you know, most folks start at an informational space in their belief system, mm-hmm. or their faith. So it begins with, what do I believe, right? And so a starting point for us looks like forming a class or a space for that, the informational stuff. Mm-hmm. Informational moves over to the missional eventually, right? We get tired of just like believe, and then we want to do it. Yeah. And so you get into the missional, and then you get into the transformational, and people start talking about monasticism and this mystics. And eventually though, we get back to, or we get to really where we're supposed to be, which is the relational space, and which is where we're starting, but it's also where we're ending. So we're trying to look at our journey as a migration from relationship back to relationship, but somehow when you get back, it looks totally different than it was when you started. Most churches, if they were to be honest, are typically in one of those four categories. You're either a missional church or an informational church or a transformational church. Now you're seeing a lot of like spiritual formation churches, but we want to be a relational church. Through and through.
I think it sounds like that's really key to your mission. Like, I was looking around your website, and I know that like your building is actually a venue that happens to house a church, right? Isn't that kind of how you use the language? And I know you guys just did the Love Peoria event. So tell us more about maybe both of those things and some other ways that you are intentionally relational with your community.
Yeah. I mean, even just the being here in this community of Old Town Peoria, it's an area that we sensed just an opportunity to love deeply and just embed ourselves in it and say, hey, this community is ours. We're gonna learn about it. We're gonna be actually blessed by this community. And so it started with us just assessing, what does this community need? It needs a hub, a social hub, you know, a space that people in that get people out of their houses and outside. And so we're, you know, we knew that in our culture, like the coffee culture is strong. And so we were just like, let's get a coffee shop in here. Let's have a venue space that's multi-purpose, multifunctional. And, you know, that was both practical, but, and it's also a statement to ourselves and our community that, hey, we are the church. It's not a building. Since we got in here about 3 years ago now, it's just been amazing to see how it's been a blessing to this community. Like, by leaning into the just the community itself and saying, hey, what do you need? You can use our space for it. You know, we want this building to be full of activity all week long, not to be an empty shell all week except for Sundays, you know. And so, and it is, the coffee shop is its own separate identity and from Axiom, and they're able to do stuff on their own, but yet it's really flourished into this kind of central hub for the whole city.
Love Peoria was, we needed tangible ways to help our church see what we were doing. And so if you saw on our website, we had this language of formation, mission, and celebration. Those are the three things we do here at Axiom, right? And so formation, the language we've attached to that is experience Jesus. That's the tangible way to help people understand what we mean is we want you to experience Jesus, because as you experience him, you will be formed. And the truth is we're all being formed no matter who we are, no matter who we're connecting with, but we want to be formed by our relationship with Jesus. Right. And second is the missional, and the tangible is love Peoria. Yeah, we want to take the very love that we have experienced with Jesus and bring that into this community in ways that are both and. It's love and. So it's the space we share with our neighbors. It's not us loving them. It's them loving us and us loving them. It's both and, right? Mm-hmm. And so love Peoria. It's not just something we're doing, it's something we're receiving as well. And we feel that. And then the celebration component for us, the tangible there, is to be together. And again, that's the relationship emphasis. And so we create a ton of events and opportunities for people to party. So Love Peoria is a project for us couple things. Obviously, it's to love Peoria, and we do that in a variety of ways, but real good example is this neighborhood does not have a playground. The entire Old Town Peoria, which is this Peoria's sort of downtown district, has no playground. And so we are in the middle of starting the building project for a playground for this community. So
we did this last weekend, a Love Peoria Day, which is really just a day of service projects in the community. It's something we hope to do quarterly. But it's kind of just a campaign. So it's a separate fund that we have set up that people can give towards, that goes specifically towards Love Peoria projects. Mm-hmm. So and that could look like blessing a neighbor who needs their car fixed, or that could look like
taking the fire chief and council member out to lunch.
Yeah. Like we're just blessing the city in a variety of ways. We've paid some of the artists in this community for projects. Like you said, we're providing on our space a playground and hangout outdoor patio space. So,
and we mentioned earlier that I think you guys have over the years kind of attracted the artist type a little bit more than maybe other churches do. I'm looking at you guys. I wish you guys listening could see. Both of these guys have some really sweet tattoos I'm a little jealous of. So yeah, you might be aiming towards the artistic community more than a lot of churches do. And Gavin, one thing I know, you guys actually have recorded some of your own music, right? Like I was listening actually on Spotify. I was listening this morning as I was getting ready to talk to you guys. So talk to us about art and music and how that has come into play kind of as part of the DNA of the church, kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah, totally. It's 100% part of the DNA. Micah really takes the lead on that, musically and just creatively all around. I see myself as a cheerleader more than an artist, but I certainly have an artist's heart as I come out of the music scene myself. So, yeah, I think even just that, like, our church started with so many people out of the music scene, that just really got into our DNA early on, and we've used it to, again, help us experience God and to reshape our language of God. And we've used it as a springboard for really being a prophetic voice as well, because in today's world, people aren't really interested in like having hot topic debates and like talking religion, but they are interested in art. And the beautiful thing about art is it creates a hospitality, a space for having the conversations, and it points to things beyond itself. Art is never obvious, right? It never is just like, oh, that's a tree. It's always summoning the mystery, if you will. And that's part of the role of the church, is to steward that mystery well. And who better to do that than the artist? And so we really see, I think, the creative and artist work is prophetic work to help point people to Jesus and ultimately to create space for them to experience him. But yeah, original music projects and sponsoring artists. Like we've gotten behind Wild Earth, which has been a huge initiative of Micah's with a whole team of people. That's probably 10 list of people long over the last few years that are now part parts of music, traveling, and just, I don't know, you guys have spawned and been a part of so many things in the music industry, Christian and secular, but it's a Jesus movement, right? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the artists that we're working with here locally, that we're encouraging, the concerts that we're hosting, the partnership with the city to bring down events and music here on a regular basis that we're hosting, leading. So, yeah, it's all over the map. But I'm going to be quiet now and let Micah talk about that.
Awesome. Love to.
I haven't summed it all up, so.
The only thing I would add is that if there's anything, we want to do more of it. There's no end in sight to the possibilities of the music and artist community. The sky is an insufficient limit.
It's interesting. I think we get accused a lot of being like a hipster church or like aiming for artists, and
that's an insult.
It's just the way of like the thought at the very beginning that wasn't even on our mind. It was more of just like, let's just be ourselves and create room for people like us, you know, and mm-hmm. people not like us. And so that's really been the key, was like, hey, I guess deep down in our DNA, we are that. And so that's just the way we're going to express ourselves. And that's just naturally led to relationships with other artists. And I think the cool thing about artists is really like, if you support their art and you just become their biggest cheerleaders, biggest fans, it's like, there's that does so much for them and their hearts. And that's been a problem with the church in general. The church isn't backing and supporting the arts. It's not looking at artists and giving the value that it has. And so it's like, even just simply going to artists and just supporting them, we have our small groups, our action communities will just adopt a local artist and just go to all their events buy their art and buy their music. And we just recently, with the pandemic, there's a local music venue that was about to shut down, that's bleeding out money because they can't be open. And we just felt called to bless them, to give them some funds and support. And they've never, that blew them away, because they're like, in their wildest dreams, would a church ever give a secular venue money, you know?
Right.
And so those kinds of things. And then also, like Gavin mentioned, the city actually has now come to us to basically like partner with them in all arts related activities in this neighborhood, in this community. And so we've actually created a monthly event called Second Saturdays. That's an outdoor art festival mm-hmm. for music and arts that's really like, it's kind of up to us on curating that and mm-hmm. getting it all together. It's currently postponed, but it'll start back up next year. And it's been wild just to see when we're just kind of true to ourselves and desiring that, it God's really provided these really cool partnerships and opportunities with artists.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And we've tried to stretch ourselves there too. You know, we don't just support artists. We've also started as part of launching some businesses in the neighborhood. Starting with our coffee shop, which is in ours, mm-hmm. Driftwood Coffee. And they've gone on to win number one coffee shop in the state of Arizona this year. Now opened their second location. Mm-hmm. We cheerleaded a project right across the street from us. It's called the Grant Project. And it's a vendor. It's a community of people leading a variety of vendors through craft and art and furniture. And you go into this maker space and you can get lessons and classes, but you can also buy things. And we've got to help cheerlead and get that off the ground. And some of the owners now are part of our community. And so we're hoping to do, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff as well. So we want the holistic picture.
I love that. I think I've got kind of the heart of an artist too. So I love what you guys are doing. I think it's so cool. And so few churches do that really well. I think that's awesome. And I like what you just said, Micah, about how like you guys were artists. And so you didn't really set out to do this on purpose necessarily, but you led out of who you were. And now the church kind of is following that DNA. So I know we're starting to run out of time here, but I'd love to hear you guys talk about that a little bit more about, like, there's not really a right way to do church, right? Like for some people, maybe the kind of conventional, I don't know if you want to call it institutional, whatever, the kind of stereotypical church model might work really well for some people, right? And probably not everyone would love to be a part of your church family. No offense, but like you, they're just different churches for different kinds of people. And so if someone's listening and they're thinking, wow, like I can never pull off what you guys did, and but maybe they love their church, or maybe they have a different passion that they want to have the church involved with somehow. Can you talk about how you guys have kind of come more about that? And is there a right way to do church? Just talk about that a little bit more. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So I would say yes and no. No, there's not a right way to do the church in a, you know, a philosophy of ministry, from a philosophy of ministry standpoint. I really think anything can go as long as it's carrying the key ingredients, you know, mm-hmm. And I would put on that list to be yourself. Don't try to be something else. Otherwise, we become byproducts of something. And that's, Jesus is never a byproduct. And he bears fruit. And so to bear fruit, you must be yourself. You can't actually bear fruit being something other than who you are. And churches get caught up trying to be something they're not.
Yeah.
And they're incapable of bearing fruit. Instead, you get oranges on apple trees, which is, nobody believes that. It's not convincing.
Right.
So be who you are. Cheerlead your leadership, your eldership, your church. Pray that we would just fall in love with who we are. And that's also going to create the most space for others to be themselves too. And because that's just a problem in our world, right? That the church should be really good at nurturing that. And so that, I think that's a key component. One thing that I do want to say, though, is I do think there are better ways to be the church. I wouldn't say a right way, and we're really trying to think through this with humility, but you know, I want to see pastors are getting unhealthy, and I want to see leadership be more healthy. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is we need to shift some of our ways of thinking about the role of leadership in the church. We're really called to be friends, soulmates. We care for the souls of others, and we're called to be guides, you know, which means that we're only shepherding people in spaces we've already been. We should never try to shepherd people into spaces we haven't been. And it also means that we lead heavily on Jesus, and we're not experts. We're not people who have it all figured out. And until we can shift that narrative and what comes out of that narrative, which is some narcissism and disconnection from relationship and functional relationships instead of relational relationships, mm-hmm. I think the church is going to continue to be I think it'll actually create spaces for stumbling as much as it'll create spaces for flourishing. And that's a real reckoning that every community, ourselves included, have to keep in front of us, because the pitfalls are many. But increasingly in a post-Christian world, we need to learn the way of humility, that we need to, new metrics. And I'll just say it like that. We need new metrics. We might even need to get rid of metrics altogether. In the kingdom, what does Jesus count? Not what do you count. What does Jesus count? I won't answer my thoughts on that, but I'll leave that for others to chew on and ask him. Mm-hmm. Because that's really all that matters.
The beauty of the church is that it adapts and looks different via its community. And so it's like in the most beautiful expressions of church, it's being authentic to geographical community that it's in, and meeting the needs and loving that community deeply. And through the relationship of that, they're guiding people into following Jesus, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that can look like anything.
Yeah, but I would say, like, if those people are listening, like they're feeling inspired, or like they're hearing something that we're doing, it's like it's grabbing something in them. Well, wonderful. That means that there's something in you that's you, that is longing. And I would say you need to nurture that with Jesus and with the folks in your church that you have the relational capacity to trust that, you know, inner vision that's cultivating. And then I would also say to you, like, you know, we're family. So if we can serve or help inspire in any way, beautiful. And that's why we're here today, right?
Well, guys, this has been awesome. I want to hop on a plane and come visit Peoria and check out all that you guys are doing, because it sounds like it's a really cool place. So thank you for serving your community well and for leading us today in this conversation. Before we wrap up, is there anything else you want to share with us today?
Just thanks for being a great listener and host and interviewer. It's nice to hang out with you. It's good to see you and put a face to your name. Thanks to everybody else too that's listening. So.
All right. Well, hey, thanks to both of you very much. We'll hope to do this again. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
See ya.
See ya.
Have you visited the USMB website lately? At www.usmb.org, you'll find information about upcoming events, a complete list of MB churches across the U.S., information about lead coaching, lead one, lead cohorts, and lead pods, Mennonite Brethren history, and a resource library with recommended books, articles, and videos, including recordings of all USMB-sponsored webinars. Visit www.usmb.org for your connection to everything MB.
Well, Gavin and Micah, you guys are awesome. Thank you again for spending some time with us today. And you know, the longer we do this show, I'm realizing one common theme that I'm picking up on is that one of the reasons why this podcast exists, and one reason why all of us read books and blogs and listen to podcasts and all those kinds of things, is we of course want to learn and benefit from each other, right? If your church is anything like mine, you're probably keeping an eye on what Craig Rochelle and Andy Stanley and all those guys are doing, so we can learn from the people who are really, really good at leading churches. But there's also something really powerful and good about being yourself and being authentic and not trying to be something that you're not. And so that's one thing that I think these guys have really latched onto, and that one reason why their church has been successful. And you know, if you hear this and you, like I think Gavin said, if this inspires you to try some new things, great. But if you're in a community where having this kind of artsy church maybe won't be best for your community, then, you know, don't feel pressure to do that, because your community probably needs something different. And so I loved many of the things that they had to say, but one thing that Gavin said that stuck with me is that in order to bear fruit, you must be yourself. And so I hope you never feel pressure to change who you are to fit what any other cool church is doing, but maybe some of these tools can help you grow more and more into the church that you were meant to be. So I love this conversation. I hope it was inspiring and encouraging to you as well, as you are probably trying to figure out what Christmas is going to look like at your church and with your family. I hope you are leading well in these days and that you're able to find a solution that works well. And above all else, that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He is our hope. And I know it's our job to remind our communities of that, but I hope you yourself are remembering that as well. Well, guys, thank you for tuning in for this episode. We've got one more for this year, and so I hope you will join me back here in 2 weeks when we've got one more episode of the Lead Pods for this year. So have a great week, and I will talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to Lead Pods. Make sure you don't miss an episode by subscribing to our show wherever you're listening today. Learn more by visiting usmb.org. And be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We'll see you next time as we learn more practical tools to increase our impact together.